All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is your host, Tyler Brown Jr. Welcome back to the Sports Guru. We talk about sports and talk about different sports that's going on throughout the year. And for this week two NFL, this is what we're going to talk about. And this, on today's episode, it was a wild, very crazy week two. I mean, there was games where you thought the team won and the team came back and fall all the way back to an impressive comeback. There's a few impressive comebacks this week that we're going to talk about and get into. And like I said, I have some questions and concerns for some teams that are starting off slow. And, you know, there are some teams out there that's looking pretty good. So, like I said, it's been a wild 2 weeks. There's still plenty of football left. So, if your team isn't off to the greatest start, like I said before, don't panic. We have plenty of football left. The season is just getting started, but it's off to a great start. So we're gonna start it. We're gonna start off the podcast talking about Thursday Night Football. We had the AFC West Division game, the Chargers and the Chiefs. Now going into this game, I wanted the Chargers to win. I was like, I feel like, you know, the Chargers are a better roster and better team on paper, but my gut was telling me, I was saying somehow, some way, Patrick Mahomes is going to pull this game out. Now, watching the game, Chargers were off to a great start. Their offense looking good. It didn't have Keenan Allen, but Mike Williams was picking up the slack, you know, was making catches. He was kind of killing the Chiefs' defense, making plays, even scored. And like I said, they were off to a great start. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes, he's going to – can never count Patrick Mahomes down, out when he's down. So he was making plays, and, you know, they came out to tie the game. But the game-changing play was when Chargers were on the one-yard line. Mind you, they were up 17-7, and Chiefs came out to tie the game at 17-0. Chargers at the one-yard line and decided to pass the ball, instead of run the ball, and Justin Herbert throws a pick six, which changed the ball game. And I feel like that ended up costing them the game, ended up losing 27-24. And Herbert threw for 334 yards, 3 TDs and a pick. Mike Williams had 113 receiving yards and a TD. Mahomes had 235 passing yards and 2 TDs. Now, it wasn't the most impressive Patrick Mahomes game or MVP Mahomes ever used to, but he got the job done, and his defense also helped out, you know, with the game-changing play with the pick six. As for the Chargers, like I said, Chargers were off to a great start. Herbert was looking good. Their offense looking good. Defense was setting, making the Chiefs go 3-and-out, which we rarely see. So they kind of blew that game. They definitely should have won that game. But, you know, you live and you learn. Look at the film. You bounce back and you come back better next week. Now let's get into some of these wild games that happened week two. The Jets. Yes, we're talking about the New York Jets defeat Cleveland 31-30 as Flacco threw for 307 yards and 4 TDs. Garrett Wilson had a day. He had 102 yards and scored the game-winning touchdown. He scored twice in that game. Corey Davis had 83 receiving yards and a TD. Brissett threw for 229 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Nick Chubb had a big day. He had 87 rushing yards and 3 TDs. Amari Cooper had a good game with 101 yards and a TD. Now, looking at this game, I'm thinking the Browns should definitely win this game. Like, they were going, Jets and Brown going back and forth the whole game. And then the Browns were up 7. And Nick Chubb had scored again for his third touchdown. So, it was like 2 minutes left. So, I'm thinking, okay, Brown scored, up 2 scores, 2 minutes left. Game's over. But what happens? Joe Flacco throws a bomb to Corey Davis, who was left wide open. I don't know who covers that was. It was just broken down defensive play. And I'm like, okay, they score. They needed to score. You know, Browns got the onside. Game's over. But what happens? The Jets end up recovering an onside kick. Go down the field. Joe Flacco throws a game winning touchdown to Garrett Wilson. Now, to surrender 13 points in 2 minutes, it's horrible. It's no way you're supposed to close out a game with that much time left in a lead. Now, granted, Nick Chubb didn't really have to necessarily score that touchdown. He could have got the first and got down to the ground. And he felt like he was to blame for that game. But I give credit to the Jets and Joe Flacco as they didn't fold in at the moment. They got an onside kick and got a win, which nobody really expected. And that's a big win for New York. And the Browns should be 2-0, but they ended up losing. So we'll see how they move forward. Now, the game that surprised me was the Colts game. Colts last week had to tie with the Texans, which I feel like they should have lost because they were down 20-3. And they came back and ended up going to overtime. And they ended up in a tie. So I'm thinking, okay, it's week one. Everybody's a rough week one because, like I said before, nobody plays in preseason. There's stuff like that. Starters don't play, so first few weeks are usually rough. But for Jacksonville to beat the Colts 24-0 in a shutout, I didn't see that coming. Matt Ryan has been playing horrible. He only threw for 195 yards and threw 3 interceptions. They shut down Jonathan Taylor and held them down to 54 rushing yards, which we're talking about a top 3 running back in the league, and they shut him down. But Trevor Lawrence played well. He threw for 235 yards, 2 TDs. James Robinson had 64 rushing yards and a TD. And Christian Kirk had a good day. 78 receiving yards and 2 TDs. Now, looking at the division, the Jaguars are in first place. Let that sink in. In the AFC South, the Jaguars are currently in first place. Now, I said last week, I thought the Colts were the best team in that division, and they're going to win that division. But after seeing the first two games, after seeing the first two Colts games, I don't know. It looks like they're going to struggle. And right now, that division is up for grabs. And the Titans don't look bright as well either. So, for right now, it could be Jacksonville division to win. But, like I said, it's only been 2 weeks. It's still early. Plenty of football left. So, we will see how this ends up playing out in the AFC South. Keep an eye on that division. Now, I want to talk about the Ravens game and their major meltdown. Ravens were up 28-7 at half. And then going to the fourth quarter, they were up 35-14, 21-point lead. Dolphins managed to come back and outscore the Ravens 28-3 in the fourth quarter, with the Dolphins winning 42-38. Now, Tua has been in the media. People question his arm talent and if he can stay healthy. Can he throw the ball? Is he accurate? Tua played lights out Sunday against the Ravens. Like I said, they were off to a slow start. But when they needed him, Tua threw for 469 yards, threw 6 TDs and 2 picks. Tyreek Hill had 190 receiving yards, 2 TDs. Jalen Waddle had 171 yards and 2 TDs. I'm going to say this now. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are the most electrifying receiving duo in the league. You want to talk about two speedy receivers, you can go get it. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are those guys. They both put up over 170 receiving yards and scored twice. And Jalen Waddle scored the game on a touchdown as the Dolphins were trailing. Now, Lamar, he played a good game. He threw for 318 yards, 3 TDs, even rushed for 119 yards and TD. Bateman scored a touchdown and had 108 receiving yards. Mark Andrews had 104 receiving yards and 1 TD. Now, if you're a Ravens fan, you're highly disappointed because it was a home game. You're up 21, and you let this meltdown happen. Now, honestly, I feel like the Ravens definitely were the biggest disappointments in this week. But, you know, credit to the Dolphins. They fought back, you know, and scored a game-winning touchdown. And they didn't give up. You know what I'm saying? That's why no lead is safe. Even when you're up big, you have to keep playing. Because you let teams hang around, then you put yourself in a position to possibly lose a game. So when you're up 21, 24, 14, whatever the case may be, you have to keep playing and keep your foot on the gas and don't want to give teams life. Now, on to the Cardinals and Raiders game. Vegas. They have done it again. The Raiders were up 20-0 at halftime. And full control of the game. Derek Carr playing well. Their defense locking up. Kyler Murray not playing too hot the first half. Struggling. Not doing anything. Second half, the Raiders got outscored 29-3. Cardinals fight all the way back to tie the game. I mean, score touchdown. Kyler ran it in. Down to the 2-point conversion to go to overtime. Scrambles all over the field and throws it to AJ Green to tie the game. And that began to overtime, and Raiders get the ball first. Hunter Renfro. Fumbled on a drive. The Raiders recover it. Okay. They go to Hunter Renfro again. Short pass. Breaks a tackle. Isaiah Simmons coming with the hit. Draws the ball loose. Byron Murphy picks the ball up and returns it for a touchdown for the win. Now, as a Raiders fan, if you're a Raiders fan, you're very disappointed. You know what I'm saying? You're losing full control the whole game. And then Kyler being Kyler, using his legs, making throws, making plays, for all the way back, got into overtime, and then the Cardinals defense came up big with a turnover, a fumble return, touchdown for the win. Now the Raiders, you're 0-2 in a tough division, the AFC West. Honestly, I have the Chargers winning that division because I feel like I said, they're the best team. I feel like they're the best team on the division, and they have the best roster in that division. They're 0-2, and you just have to be better. Your defense has to be better, and Derek Carr has to be better. It's just as simple as that. Now, moving on. Cowboys and Bengals. Yes, as you guys know, everybody know, if you guys, you know, follow football, follow me, you guys know I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. Now, going to this game, did I feel like we were going to win this game? No, not really. I wasn't really confident, you know, with the injuries we're facing. My quarterback, Dak, is out for a few weeks. No Michael Gallup. O-line is hurt. The Cowboys did better than I think they did. I started off first two drives with touchdowns, and I'm like, okay, they're off to a fast start. But I wasn't going to get my hopes up. At halftime, we were up 17-3. Then come the second half, our offense started stalling, and then the Bengals were finally started to wake up, started driving on the field, and they scored twice. And then the Bengals had the ball again. Chance to, you know, under 2 minutes to get a field goal or touchdown. Trayvon Diggs makes a big tackle on third down, which leads him to punt the ball on fourth down and give us a chance to make the game on the drive. And we drove down the field. Cooper Rush made some good throws and set us up for Brett Maher, our kicker, to kick a 50-yarder, which he made. Now, my takeaway from this game, yes, Cowboys surprised me as they beat the Bengals because the Bengals are one of the better teams in the AFC. But I gotta give credit to my defense because our defense made their O-line uncomfortable. Joe Burrow was sacked, I think, like 6 times that game. Micah Parsons with another 2 sacks. I think he can run away with defensive player of the year and easily have 15 to 20 sacks this season. It's really not our defense I'm worried about because our defense can hold their own. It's really our offense and can we put up points and can we not stall for so many drives and let teams come back in the game and stuff like that. So it was a good win because, like I said, it was a quality opponent. Played Joe Burrow. We held him to 199 yards and only one TD. And we shut down the receiving core. Higgins only had 71 receiving yards. He did score. And Jamar Chase only had 54 receiving yards. Cooper Rush threw for 235 yards and a TD. And Noah Brown had 91 yards and a TD. Now, Cooper Rush didn't play bad. But he made some throws that were very questionable and easily could have been picked. He should have had at least 3 picks. And if those are turnovers, you possibly could lose a game. But besides those errant throws, he played pretty fairly well. He did enough to help us get in position to win, let a good last-minute drive, and outplayed Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Hopefully we get back Michael Gallup next week as we do play the Giants next week on Monday night. And that's going to be an entertaining game, which I will get into later. We'll get into that. Let's move on. Now, the Monday night games. Buffalo and Tennessee. Eagles and the Vikings. We're going to talk about Buffalo first. I knew Buffalo's going to win this game. You know, Buffalo, they're coming off being the defending champs, and they're building 31-10. Impressive win. I thought Buffalo and Titans, you know, Buffalo's going to win. You know, Josh Allen's going to do his thing. You know, it might be a competitive game, but the Bills look absolutely flawless in this game. Josh Allen threw for 317 yards, 4 TDs. Stephon Diggs, talking about having a day. 148 receiving yards and 3 TDs. Now, that tandem, that duo, it's very dangerous. Very dangerous. Talking about Josh Allen, the strong arm, the most powerful arm as a quarterback. And then Stephon Diggs, who is a top 5 receiver. Yes, a top 5 receiver, without a question. He should be in your top 5. Having a game like that, he's off to the first good 2 weeks. Now, like I said before, the Bills, I think I'm going to go to Super Bowl and come out the AFC. Just that team on both sides of the ball is very talented. Now, for the Titans, they're not looking good. Ryan Tannehill threw for 117 yards, 2 interceptions. Derrick Henry didn't do much. They couldn't get the run game going. Ryan Tannehill looked terrible. They couldn't do anything. That Bills defense is just one of the best in the league. In the pass rush, that secondary, they can get to the quarterback, they can cover. And they can make your offense have nightmares. So Titans are 0-2. And their roster is just not good, like, at all. Like, yes, you have Derrick Henry, you know, the best running back in the league, but teams are going to crowd the box to stop him, because that's what teams are game planning to stop Derrick Henry. Your job is to make Ryan Tannehill throw the ball and make him beat you, and if you do that, you have a great chance of winning the game, because Ryan Tannehill is not a great, you know, great passer. Isn't like he's very accurate like that, and he's definitely bound to give you the ball, turn the ball over. So that's what we saw the Bills do, and we saw the Bills offense annihilate the Titans defense. So, like I said, Bills, as a team to watch in the AFC. Then we have the Eagles against the Vikings. Honestly, I thought this would be, you know, a pretty close game, tight game, but I thought the Vikings were going to come out on top. But the Eagles beat the Vikings 24-7. And Jalen Hurts played a pretty impressive game. Threw for 333 yards, a TD and a pick. Had 57 rushing yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. And Goddard had 82 receiving yards. The Eagles right now, they're 2-0. They played a good game Monday night. Their defense was giving Kirk Cousins trouble and forced him to turn the ball over. They forced 3 picks from Kirk Cousins. They shut down Jefferson and Thielen as they held Jefferson 48 receiving yards, Thielen 52 yards receiving yards. Like I said, the Eagles can make some noise in the NFC if they keep playing the way they're playing. You know what I'm saying? They have the weapons on offense. Hurts, Sanders, Goddard, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and then their defense is pretty stout as well. So, right now, like I said before, I have the Eagles winning the division right for now because of the injuries to my team. But I feel like when I get my guys back and they're healthy, I feel like we can be a threat to the Eagles. So, we'll see how long the Eagles hold up and how long Jalen Hurts keep his play up. He's, like I said, he hasn't done bad the first 2 weeks. But, like I said, there's still plenty of football left. And the season is just getting started. And let's see how consistent they're going to be. And if they can possibly come out the NFC. I don't think they're going to come out the NFC. I don't think they're going to go to the Super Bowl. That's not the prediction I'm going to make. But they're off to a good start. So we'll see how long that lasts. Now, I want to talk about early MVP predictions. Right now, I'm saying this here. Right now, the clear MVP favorite after 2 weeks, it's none other than Josh Allen. Josh Allen is playing the lights out. I'm talking about making throws, being accurate, scoring with his legs, hitting receivers. Josh Allen right now is playing like the best quarterback in football after 2 games. Yes, I understand Tua had a heck of a game this past week, but Tua's not in the MVP conversation. Right now, Josh Allen is in the conversation. Well, the favorite to win MVP, and you can put, after 2 weeks, you can move up Jalen Hurts as he's stepping up his play. So those two quarterbacks right now, Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen, are in the conversation right now. But if Josh keep playing the way he's playing, there's no doubt in my mind he wins MVP. The Bills, I predict, are going to have the number 1 seed in the AFC, and they're going to go to the Super Bowl. So, yeah. Now, start of week 3 is tomorrow. We have Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. Both are coming off losses. The Browns should be 2-0, but they lost to the Jets. They choked. I mean, if you look at the team, like I said, Cleveland is not bad offensively. They're solid offensively. It's just they don't have Deshaun Watson. They have Jacoby Brissett. Steelers, their offense is a question. Can they move the ball? Mitchell Trubisky, very questionable. Najee is a solid back. They have solid receivers. I give them Claypool and Johnson. Their tight end, not too bad. Their defense is, you know, their defense is pretty good. And the Brown defense is okay as well. So, it comes down to which offense can move the ball and put up points. Because, you know, the Browns are, you know, definitely a run-heavy team. And they're going to feed Nick Chubb. he's going to get a heavy workload, which is understandable. So they're going to crowd the box to defend Nick Chubb, stop Nick Chubb, and make Brissett beat them. So then it comes down to, can Jacoby Brissett make the throws that need to be made when it's time to throw the ball and put Cleveland in a position to score and put points on the board? That's been my prediction for this game. I feel like the Browns, I feel like I just have more faith in the Browns and in Jacoby Brissett than I do with Mitchell Trubisky. So I think the Browns should pull this game out. It's going to be a very close game, very tight game. You know, division games are always usually tough. So we have, you know, start of week three, Browns and Steelers. And I think the Browns are going to win. Now, back to what I was going to talk about with my Cowboys. We have the Giants Monday night, which is going to be a tough game. Like I said, I like what I saw out of them last week in that offense. They just can't get stagnant. I think we definitely have to run the ball more and give Zeke the ball more. Like I said, Pollard is up and coming. I understand, you know, he's going to get his fair share. They're going to split carries, whatever case may be. But I feel like Zeke deserves to get the ball more. And our defense is pretty solid. We are only allowing 18 points a game. That run defense can be a little better, even though we did kind of shut down Joe Mixon this past week, because our run defense was terrible against the Bucs and Fournette got off. But our defense can get to the quarterback. We can generate pressure and not get the quarterback's time to throw the ball. And I feel like our defensive lineman is going to be too much for the Giants' O-line, where Daniel Jones might have to move around and we can get to him. So I feel like we can generate a few sacks come Monday night, and we definitely have to make Danny Jones beat us and not Saquon. So we have to really stack the box, stop Saquon, definitely gang tackle him, because you can't just tackle him by yourself. Strong back, power back, and definitely cut him off on the edge. Don't want to really want to let him get to the outside and have running room. So I feel like we stop Saquon and make Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones, whatever you want to call him, throw the ball a lot. I feel like we have a great chance, because Daniel Jones isn't the most accurate. Yes, he's a decent athlete coming from scramble, so we might have to put up a spot for that. But he's definitely, if we create pressure and make him uncomfortable, he's definitely going to give us, turn the ball over, you know, give us a turnover. And give our offense a good position, field position to go score and score off the turnovers, and our offense have to put up points and, you know, get to a fast start. Hopefully we get Michael Gallup back this week. That would be big for our offense. That's another threat to our receiver core, to help CD out. Noah Brown is coming of his own. And so we'll see with him. If he plays this week, they say it's a possible chance that he do. And then Cooper Rush just has to stay composed, stay focused, not get rattled, not make any errant throws, take care of the ball, control the clock. And I don't see why the Cowboys don't win Monday night, as long as they stick to that game plan.
Be aggressive on offense, not be conservative.
And they can definitely pull it off and definitely be 2-1 come Monday. Like I said, it's going to be a tough game. I feel like it's going to be close, but I feel like the Cowboys can definitely come out. My Cowboys can come out on top with a win. So, like I said, we have week three. Week three starting tomorrow, Thursday. And then we have the Sunday games, and then we have the Monday night game, which I just discussed. So, you know, stay tuned for this week and see what happens, what upsets happens, any comebacks. You know, wild finishes. Because, like I said, this NFL season has been very entertaining and exciting. And, you know, I look forward to what we have in store for the future. So, that pretty much wraps up, you know, the week two recap and a little bit about week three. Like I said, we'll watch what happens tomorrow, Sunday and Monday. And we'll definitely be back next week to recap week three. So basically I'll be putting out episodes pretty much every Wednesday, you know, for the most part to talk to you guys about my opinions and what I think about the games and stuff like that. So I appreciate you guys tuning in. Thank you for your time. And I'll be back next week to provide you guys more information. Stay blessed. Stay out of trouble. Be safe out here because we do live in a crazy world. So hope you guys enjoy the rest of your night and evening. And until next time, I'm your host, Tyler Brown, and I am out.